go in there, and a while back, you know, I've been in and out of there visiting some homeless people time to time. And how do you visit homeless people? You got to find them. I mean, you don't go to their home, right? I'm not making light of that. Some of the homeless people are, that's the way they want to live. I mean, you may not find that reasonable, but that is the truth. That's the way they want to live. And some, it's not by choice. So there was, you know, the benches at a Jack's restaurant, there was a couple of them up under the benches smoking whatever they were smoking. They might have been smoking a French fry or something. I don't know. But they got them out of there. God help. But when I saw Peanut the other day down on East Michigan there at that Murphy gas station, either before I went in there or I came out, I believe it was before I went in there. I'm really hung up on whether it's before or after I came in there. So regardless, I'm going down the road, and you know, the traffic's slow, and I see this guy walking, probably my age, I don't know, you really can't tell, and he is in the rough, and he was walking, and I just assumed that he was homeless. If I was betting, I'd bet you he was homeless. And about as far as from here to this wall, that wall, there's a woman walking behind it. You know how it is. Sometimes the man says, get behind me. Sometimes the woman says, get behind me. But she was following close. And I'm thinking, they're both homeless, and she's following him. And why in the world is she following him if she's homeless and he's homeless? It wasn't because of his good looks. I mean, you know, I saw that. And the whole idea is what prompted her to be following him? Was she in love with him? I mean, you can be in love with somebody and say, look, if you're homeless, you can forget it. I'm going to get a house and I love you, and you can be homeless and keep walking around, but I'm going to do some shelter. You know, I'm going to do something. I mean, some way or another, he had her convinced that he is going in the right direction and that he was worthy of being followed. And the whole thought is, right here, is be careful who you're following. Be very, very careful who you're following. We've been reading the story, and we've been preaching on the story of Rebecca becoming Isaac's wife. You've probably heard that till you're tired of it. Well, you know, you'll make it. So Isaac needed a wife. He was 40 years old. His daddy was like 140, Abraham. And Abraham sent his servant, who it says the servant with the, he's the main servant. He's the big guy. He's the servant. He had the servant, and I may preach on this later, but the servant had servants. He was over them. And so Abraham sent his servant, whom I believe his name was Eliezer or Eliezer. You can say it either way. Like in Sunday school, we got hung up for a long time tracing roots of people. Finally, I asked, you know, I mean, we get a prayer request starting to turn into a family tree root chase. And I finally asked one guy, I said, did you know so-and-so's great-great-great-grandfather? He said, yes, I do, but I can't remember his name. I really think you meant that, but I really think you was pulling it. I want to know who his name was, other than you say, I forgot his name, okay? So anyway, Isaac is 40, Abraham's 140, and he sent Eliezer, he made him covenant with him. And the way that they covenanted back then was, he said, you stick your hand under my thigh, and you you swear to me that you're going to get my son a bride from my people, not from the Canaanites or the other people with other religions. That was danger then, and it's danger now for you to marry somebody that does not know our God. You'll live to regret it. So he swore, and the whole idea was, is that's close to where your seed is and your progeny is, and the swearing part of it was like this: you put your hand there, and the idea is, if you do not fulfill that promise, my generations to come will make you pay. And the idea was, the picture is, the God the Father and God the Holy Spirit coming down to search out a bride for the Son, Jesus Christ. And you and I represent the bride of Christ today. We represent Him. And He sought us out. The Holy Spirit of God tracked you down and found you and give you that opportunity to be saved. And the idea was, once he found her and gave her all these gifts, gold and silver and new raiment and all of this, he found her up in Abraham's brother's place in Haran. That's where they went. It was a 500 plus or take a few miles journey. That's where they went, a long way. And the Holy Spirit came a long way, long beyond the heavens of heavens. In the third heaven is where God lives. In the third heaven, not the atmosphere, not the celestial bodies of space, which is unfathomable, which no human being will ever reach the end of that. But it's on out there where God lives. And Jesus said, when I'm gone, I'll send the Comforter, another Comforter. And the idea about another, there's two Greek words for another. One means just another that's sort of like, you know, similar. The other Greek word is one just like me. And Jesus said, I'm going to send somebody just like me who's going to live in you and be in you and comfort you and help you and guide you and also give you warning when you want to do wrong. And he's the very same one. He, the Holy Ghost of God, is the part of the Trinity that when we believe on Jesus, the Bible says in Corinthians that we're baptized by one Spirit into one body. The Holy Ghost of God is the one that don't take out a body, but the one that puts in a person in a body. And that is, you and I are put into Jesus Christ when we get saved by the Holy Ghost. And then we live for Him. And He's in us forever and ever. We're sealed to the day of redemption. And you know, we're sealed and we have the earnest of the Spirit, which is the promise of the Father that He will fulfill His will, fulfill His plan for us, that He will come again for us in the person of Jesus Christ. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want you to think about it. Who are you following? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 24, now after it's all over with, her daddy Laban, I mean her brother Laban, and his her daddy Bethuel said, "It's a good idea. You know, my brother and my uncle needs a wife for his son." And they said, "Take her." They were ready to get rid of her. Apparently, take her. And by the way, a damsel is somebody from infancy to 18 years old. She could have been 18 or younger, but I am convinced that she was just a teenager. I married my wife when she turned 18. She turned 18 September the 3rd, and I married her sometime in September. 27th, I think. My mama's birthday, my son's birthday, my wife's birthday, and my anniversary is all in September, so don't expect me to get those dates right. But they said, finally, go. They said, we're going to ask her to see if she wants to go. And they asked her. And I'm talking about within a 12 to 15, not over 20 hour period, she left her home, having never ever seen these people before. And never ever, I think, no record that she ever saw her mom and daddy again. Wow. What a decision. They said, we're going to let her decide. And here's what she said. We read it last week. She said, I will go. A lot of people are sitting around saying, I'll go. I'll make that move for Christ. I know a man right now that's, he told me and Jerry the other day, he said, I know the man to call. You know, Jerry lives in Georgia. He said, when I'm ready, I'll call. I know who to call. And he pointed at me. He's making a decision, but you better not wait around. You better not wait around about getting saved, and you better not wait around about serving God after you get saved. I remember when Brother Brown left this church. It was a sad day for me. We were going down the road to Archie Burton's church. We were going down to revival. I was riding with him and the boys and Kathy and Helen Brown were riding in another car. And Brother Brown told me he was leaving. And I cried. I didn't want him to leave. He was my dear friend. And here's what he said. He said, I've got to serve God. I've got to get busy serving God. And I'm thinking, what have you been doing? You've been serving God. You've been helping me. But he had to make a decision. And he made that decision. And he left. And he served God till he died. And he served God when he was here. Sad day on departing. But she left. She left within just a few hours after she had that opportunity. Her brother and her mother and her daddy said, look, let her stay here at least 10 days. And these liberal theologians interpret that as 10 months. Do you know the difference in 10 days and 10 months? Wouldn't it be good if a woman had a baby in 9 days instead of 9 months? I mean, you'd know the difference, wouldn't you? I mean, you can count to 9, and the next one's 10, so now you know how to do it. But I'm going to tell you something. A lot of things can happen in 10 days, let alone 10 months. A lot of things can transpire and cause you to reverse your decision. Here it is. Verse 61. And Rebekah arose. Rebekah arose. She got up. Rebekah arose and her damsels. Now, I don't know how many there were. I'm going to speculate in a little while how many there were, but here's a teenage girl with a bunch of other teenage girls. Wow. They're leaving and they rode upon the camels. The camels are the deserts. Called the desert ships. Oh, they can travel for a long time without water or without food. Their feet are shaped and their bodies shaped to withstand the desert sand and the desert storms. She leaves by Camel Express on approximately 500 mile journey. 500 miles. You can check it out. You can look at the maps. She went from Haran in the north. Way on up there, she went all the way to Beersheba, which is on the south part of the nation of Israel, the holy land of this day, almost down to Egypt, 500 miles. She went through mountains. She went through rivers. She crossed the Euphrates River. She was in two types of deserts, the stony and the sandy. She was in barren. She walked through a road through barren lava beds. She went through deciduous forest, which means the leaves fall. She went through coniferous forest, which means they bear cones like pines. She crossed grassland steeps. She went through ravine vegetation and oasis. She went right by Gaza and right to Beersheba with some people she didn't even know. And I bet you they got to know one another before it was over with. And by the way, she went through some oasis. Now, what I want you to do is just think about your journey so far with Christ. And think about who helps you through that journey. And think about who you're following. I sad to say, but if some kids start following their parents' faithfulness, they never will be faithful. That's sad to say. Parents, you got a great obligation to set a standard of faithfulness to your family. But don't follow your family and your if they're unfaithful. Don't follow. You be faithful and you serve God. The Bible says that Rebekah rose and her damsels and they rode upon the camels. Them camels. I always think of camels going like this. They just come along, you know. You know, horses got a gait. A gait means different speeds and different comfortability. I mean, if you're trotting, you're going, if you're galloping, if you got a rocking horse like I had, smooth ride like a walking horse, a rocking horse is. It's just smooth in the saddle. And I ain't never rode a camel, but my brother Randy rode one over in Egypt. I think he showed me a picture, and that was a funny looking picture to see my brother on a camel. They rode the camels. And rode upon the camels. And look, here's the word. And followed the man who represents the Holy Ghost of God. Followed the man. And the servant took Abraham and went his way. The Holy Spirit of God knows the way home, friends. He knows the way to heaven. I mean, you're going to get there whether you obey the Spirit of God or not. If you know Jesus Christ, you're saved. You're going to get there. But I'm going to tell you what. If I was taking a 500-mile trip through all those terrains and all those difficulties, I'd want somebody who knew the way. And for you or I to think that we don't need the direction of God to know where we're going in this life, we're absolute fools. You listen to grandma. It's okay to listen to grandma if she's a Christian right with God. But if she's one of them kind that says every tub sits on its own bottom, and the pot can't call the kettle black, and this and that, it won't forgive and won't forget, and don't come to church half the time, you better get you somebody to follow than your grandma. Amen. I'm not mad at grandmas. I live with a grandma. I can't be mad at her. I'd be starving to death by now. Now, Rebekah rose and her damsels. They rode upon the camels, followed the man. Not the men, but the man who the other servants followed. And the servant took Rebekah. Took her. He took Rebekah. You say, well, I chose God. No, the Holy Ghost took you. He took you. He got you. He got a hold of you. So let's go to Jesus. I know you could have resisted him, but she didn't. She didn't lie. And she went her way, and the damsels. The damsels went with her. Her nurse went with her. Verse 59, and they went away, and they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse. And the servants of the men went with them. The men that had came with the servant from Abraham, the other smaller S servants went, and his men, verse 59, and they sent away Rebekah, their sister and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. The camels are departed. The camels were coming, now they're departed. You better catch that bus when it's leaving, friends. Oh, my. You better catch that bus. You better take that opportunity when you have it, because the camels won't stay around all day. I know what it's like to miss a train in Romania in a snowstorm in the middle of the night, and having to walk across enough railroad tracks from here to cross the road in the middle of the night to try to get back across to catch a train, watch my train go right by. I won't get into all the details, but it was not my fault. And I tried not to get angry at the men whose fault it was. I lost that train. I got on one later by the grace of God. Who? 10 camels, 10 men, 10 cargoes. See, they brought stuff in camels. They left stuff. They had to bring some back with them to make it on the way. The gift said, give Rebecca. They didn't take them away from her. She got to bring them. They had to have food and water to get that. So there was a lot of camels. There was what I call a caravan of camels. And there was a lot of them. There was one for each. I don't think they doubled up, because the Bible says later that Rebecca lighted off her camel. It was like her personal camel. And I believe every one of them had a camel. I believe the servants all had a camel. I believe there were camels to bring the cargo in, camels to bring cargo out, and camels for Rebecca, and camels for her nurse, and camels for her young friends. There was a camel for everybody. Now, yeah, this may not be preaching to you, but I've been thinking about this all week. Matter of fact, I've been thinking about this for months. So I'm going to deliver what I have to think about. And if it hair lips the devil, I hope him and all his people get hair lipped. What is hair lipped? You say, you can't even talk plain yourself. You're talking about me being hair lipped? Here it is. 10 camels, 10 men, 10 cargoes, females each had a camel. They rode, they didn't ride with a man. There wasn't a young girl with a man. There was decency. There was honor. Let's move along. Rebecca's caravan. Hey, we got a caravan that goes with us, friends. You better mark it down. We've got help along the way. We don't have to go alone. If you're out there alone somewhere trying to find your way through to Beersheba, I feel sorry for you. And I know I'm talking to people that will be listening today that do not go to church. They think they can get by at home. And I want you to understand something. You're on your own if you're at home, my friends. But right here in the church, you've got your friends, your believers. You got your servants of God. And you got a lot more than that that will help you get along the way. Thank God for the church. I've been trying to figure out where's the camel fit in. I'm sort of going to call the camel the church, maybe. Not disrespectful, but the caravan, traveling companions. Well, she had personal amigos that were her companions, her damsels. They were her servants. Rebecca was a servant, and she had servants. Figure that one out. She was a servant girl, and she had servants. They were non-Jewish. Now, I don't really want to rush through this, and I'm not going to. Matter of fact, Rebecca was not a Jew. She was not a Jew. Hebrew, the people from a certain area, they called Abraham the first Hebrew. And then we'd say it soft, and it was saying Hebrew. Eber or something. He was from Eber in that area, and they started calling him a Hebrew because that was from that area that he had decided to live in, and that's where we get the name Hebrew. And I don't know where we get to Judea. They're gonna quit try to get us quit saying Jews and just say Judea, which is a terrain and a geographical area. But brother, we will never stop saying the name Jew, and God loves the Jews, and Jesus was a Jew, but Rebecca was not a Jew. And her daddy and her mom and her brother was not Jews. These servants were not Jews. Hey, you'll say, I wasn't born in a good family, wasn't born this and that, and I'm not had to bring it up and all this to be Christian. It don't matter. Get saved and serve God. Join the crowd. Get your camel. Follow the line. Get in line. Amen. It don't matter. I'll tell you something. This thing about Darwinism, Charles Darwin, his theory, his they're saying is responsible for a lot of problems of racism today, and I believe that. I believe it's reversing on them. They talk about the Darwinistic theory of evolution prompted and promoted the idea of racism, and that there was an underdeveloped species of humanity
That is, evolution is taking place right now, and that there's a group of people that are underdeveloped and they're not even human beings yet. But I'm going to tell you, God created his Adam in his image, and every person that's ever been born of woman is created in his image. Well, if you get close enough, you might check me out and you'll think I'm an underdeveloped species. I'm still trying to catch up with everybody. Our companions, these servants, non-family. They were not family members. They were not her sisters. They were her companion friends. They probably grew up together and they're all moving together. They're all in the line. They're all in the caravan. These three benches used to be filled up with young people when I was a kid. Right here. We all went, moved together and worshiped together and sung together. But I'm going to tell you why. I don't know where any of them are right now. Some of them's dead. It's only by the grace of God that I'm here. But I've got news for you. I'm not stepping off the way. I'm not taking my camel and turning to the left or the right by the grace of God. I'm going to keep following the servant. God helping me. God helping me. I don't boast when I say that, but I have no other choice. I want you to understand, they came to Jesus one day, and multitudes had left him, and he looked at his disciples and he said, "Will you also go away?" And they said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Nowhere to go. A man's a fool to get out of church. An absolute fool. There's no reason in the world for you to step out. You say, "Well, I got my feelings hurt." You're a baby is what you are. How many times you think, I've been here 35 years, and how many times you think I've had the opportunity to have my feelings hurt? I say, I choose not to let my feelings get in the way of serving God. Praise the Lord. My wife's hung in here. She used to get phone calls from a certain woman that's in this church, and my wife, I'd come home, she'd be in tears. I mean, just browbeating her. Woman finally got saved. My wife's hung in there all these years. Her nurse was there. What? Her nurse? Well, her family was of means, no doubt. Laban Bethuel, her daddy, was apparently a man of means. But he wasn't nowhere rich like Abraham was. Abraham was rich, rich, rich. She's going to a far better inheritance than what she had at home. She had a nurse. That nurse might have even been a midwife that brought her into the world. I like to think about the Greek words and my fellow yoke fellow. Now, what that means, some of those words together means from the same womb. If you're saved and born of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God, you and I came from the same womb. And He delivered us. He delivered us and put us in Christ Jesus. And we've been being raised together. The nurse. I said, "Well, I'm going to look that word up. I know what the nurse means." I'll tell you when a kid's ready to be weaned. Hey, so the psalmist said, "I behave myself as a weaned child." Do you know anybody that acts like they're not weaned yet? That could be 40 years old. I saw a man in this community a few years ago. He's on the side of the road with a truck, his truck, and another truck, and his grandson. And he said, "You know what the granddaddy told me? I'm trying to wean him." I don't ever know if you got him weaned or not. Well, I tell you what, when a baby, and I go this through our family, and I'm not going to say who, but when a kid is old enough to come to his mom and say, "Mom, I want a nurse," it's time to wean that baby. Matter of fact, it's past time. And I know, you know, there's nothing dirty or bad about talking about a woman nursing a baby. It's honorable. And I respect and honor a mother that'll nurse her baby. But I want you to understand, this woman was not her mama. It was her personal nurse that stayed with her day by day and watched after her and kept her. And now she's following her to her new husband, to a new land. And I want you to understand something. The Holy Ghost of God is not going to set you aside and say, this is not your time. You got an appointment in 2 months. You're going to have to wait it out. The Holy Ghost of God is with you all the time to nourish you and help you and carry you along the way. Praise the Lord for that. You say, I don't realize the Holy Ghost. I don't realize His presence. If you don't realize the presence of God, there's something wrong. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. If I moved in your house today and somebody asked you a month later and I stayed at your house, I was there all the time. They said, Roger Butler, it's your house. You said, well, I don't know. Yeah, you'll know. You'd probably be ready to kick me out. But the thing about it is, people tell me they don't realize the presence of God. There's something wrong. Oh, he's a nurse to you. There's one place in the Bible in Romans where it says the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. And it's not in the feminine or masculine gender. It's in the neuter, which means it's neither masculine nor feminine. And it's only talking about his office, not his person. He is a male. He is in the masculine gender, the Holy Spirit, when He has come. But when it says that in Romans, that when the Spirit itself bears witness, it's talking about His office and His duties for us. And one of those duties for us is to comfort us. And a nurse knows how to comfort the child. I've sat and watched them in the hospitals. I've seen nurses in the nursery with 10, 15 babies in there and all of them crying at one time. And I've seen individual nurse of the baby rocking it. I said, how y'all stand this? She said, we're used to it. Not me, buddy. Got earplugs? I don't know, no earplugs. They showed me some tricks. They said, you rub that baby right there, and that's a comfort zone to that baby. And I've seen them rubbing it. I did. My kids, it works. It works. Another one, Dr. Golden's was a chiropractor in Gunnersville, and she said, I got 2 boys, and she's one of our customers. I saw her twice a year. She said, look, when your kids get to acting up, just lay them across your on your lap. And she didn't say spank them first. She said, take and put your fingers in those impression places on their spine, just massage them. She said, that's the way I'm going to do my boys, and if that don't work, I spank them. So I give my kids that opportunity, some of them. Some of them, I said, it ain't going to work. Well, her traveling companions, her nurse, her servant girls, they're all there. Let's stand. There is no way. I can't go no further. Her traveling companions, her external traveling companions. We're going to pick it up later. Aren't you thankful that God's not left you alone? Aren't you thankful for the church, amen, and for your traveling companions? You better watch it, friends. Don't be judging people. Be complimenting them. Say, I want to thank you for being my traveling companion. I want to thank you for helping me. You know what? I don't do this a lot, but I'm going to do it. In this invitation, you need to go to somebody and say, thank you for helping me. Thank you for being my traveling companion and encouraging me. Father, have your way. If there's anybody here lost, I pray you'll save them. Save them. Lord, bless these people. Thank you, my traveling companions. Bless them in Jesus' name. If you need to pray, come and pray. Go to somebody and say thank you. You do that. Why don't you do that right now? Some through the valley, some through the storm,
Some through great trial lives alone. Some through the shadows, but God gives a song in the night season and all. In shady green pastures, so sweet, God leads His dear children along. God leads His dear children along. Some through the flood, some through the sorrows, but all through blood. Some through great You got this song in front of you. You got a song there. We have